Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalm 39, but I also want to read by way of background from the book of 1 Kings. So we'll be reading 1 Kings chapter 2, the first part of that chapter, and then following that, we will read Psalm 39. So let us begin with the reading of God's word from 1 Kings chapter 2, the verses 1 through 12. And this is the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons pay close attention to their way, to their walk before me in faithfulness, with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.' Moreover, you also know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in the time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet. Act, therefore, according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. But deal loyally with the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for with such loyalty they met me when I fled from Absalom your brother. And there is also with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse on the day I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, saying, 'I will not put you to death with the sword.' Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his gray head down with the blood to Sheol." Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And in the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. And then if you'll read with me from Psalm 39, which I've put in your bulletins, along with an outline of this morning's message on the back, but Psalm 39 from the English Standard Version. Psalm 39, to the choir master, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I said, "I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle, so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. I am mute. I do not open my mouth, for it is you who have done it. Remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. When you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Look away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. Thus the reading of God's word as we find it this morning in 1 Kings chapter 2 and Psalm 39. Again, keep in mind the outline on the back of your bulletins this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, one of the privileges about being in pastoral ministry is the opportunities God gives you at times to speak to people who have come to a point in their life where they know that their life may soon come to an end. And when pastors go visit people in such situations, one of the questions that is often asked, first and foremost, is, are you ready to go and be with the Lord? And sometimes, when that question is asked, even though people have been lifelong servants of the Lord and have known the Lord for many, many years, perhaps even all their life, there is often something that will come out in terms of regret on issues that they faced. Sometimes it's about taking better care of their body. They wish they had done that, which has led to the illness which will soon take their life. Sometimes it's about poor financial decisions that have been made and lost opportunities which has left their family in difficult financial distress upon their death. Sometimes it's about relationships that have gone bad, mistakes they have made, with the result that there is tension among relatives or past friends, or perhaps even sadness over someone, a close relative, not walking with the Lord as a result of the pain in those relationships. All of us have regrets in life. Sometimes we make these kind of mistakes and realize that there are consequences, mistakes that show up that we have done that have left us in pain and others as well. What do we do when you know that you are suffering the consequences of your sins and mistakes, and yet you recognize the Lord's hand is upon you? David knew all about this in Psalm 39. Some have called Psalm 39 the funeral psalm, as we even find it in our OPC church order concerning the form for burial services. But as we read the psalm, we do not know exactly the time in David's life in which it is written. Some have said perhaps it's the time that David was forced to flee the land of Israel and was sent off to the Philistines, having fled from King Saul, not understanding why these consequences have come upon him. Some have said perhaps it's the time when David was mourning the loss of his son, having sinned with Bathsheba, having killed Uriah and his infant child, dying soon after birth. Some have said perhaps it's when he realized the mistakes he made with Absalom, his own son, and he let Absalom get away from him, even forcing him to have to flee Jerusalem, and his mourning upon the news that Absalom was now dead. And yet some have said that perhaps the historical situation is David on his deathbed, as we just read this morning from 1 Kings chapter 2. Recognizing the consequences of his life, sharing these consequences and the difficulties that was still on his heart with his son Solomon, as Solomon was soon to take over. As I said, we are not exactly sure what situation it was in which David wrote this psalm, but what we do know is that as you read this psalm, there is progress in it. There is resolution in it. There is an understanding of the grace and the salvation of God that David comes to understand and be blessed with as he writes, as he concludes. As we look at this psalm together, you can see on your outlines that the psalm is really divided into four particular parts. In the first part of the psalm, verses 1 through 3, we are reading of David's inner turmoil about the situation and the difficulties that he faces. In the next part of the psalm, verses 4 through 6, we read David reflecting on the transience of life. He knows that he is a transient. He knows that life is temporary. It is not forever. And he recognizes that as he goes through the situation he faces. And yet, as the psalm continues in verses 7 through 11, there is a progress to David's thoughts as he expresses them to God, an understanding that transience will soon turn into permanence, though he still lives in a world that is temporary, looking forward to the eternal future. And finally, as David comes to the end of the psalm, he comes to understand the permanence of life, not here on this earth, but life with our Lord, life with God in heaven. And so let's begin this morning with this inner turmoil that David faces within his heart and in this situation. You notice in the first three verses, there is no mention of God's name, but it begins in a unique way of all the Psalms and the Psalters with David saying, "I said." David now is expressing to us in the words of this psalm, the words, the frustration that is in his heart. "I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle." You can see David is ready to express things with his mouth, with his words. He is guarding them, however. He's not saying them with his tongue, lest he sin. He is guarding his mouth with a muzzle, lest he sin. And why is he so concerned? The end of verse 1, "So long as the wicked are in my presence." How often don't you heard it said by a believer that when they go through a difficult time in life, sometimes even realizing that it's consequences for mistakes or sins that they have made, they will not share them. They'll say, "Look, I don't want to talk to my unbelieving parents or my unbelieving relatives or unbelieving friends about this. I'm not going to express my frustration about that situation to them, because all it will do, you see, is add to their rejection of the Lord." And they'll point and they'll say, "You see, God didn't help them, and all the faith that you have in God did no good." And so David realizes, you see, as he begins this psalm, that as he thinks about all the things in his life that have taken place and the frustrating situation he is in, whatever it may be, he realizes that for him to speak negatively about God, or to take out his frustration against the Lord to somebody else, especially a wicked person, it would do him no good. So he has muzzled his mouth, he has kept his tongue from sinning against the Lord, and he goes on in verse 2 to say, "I was mute and silent, I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse." He is silent, he is mute, he is holding his peace, and yet what is happening inside of him? We read that his distress about the situation is growing worse. Verse 3, "My heart becomes hot within me as I mused, the fire burned." What David is describing is what is going on inside of his heart, this inner turmoil, the building up of the tension, the building up of his unhappiness, his heart becoming hot, his fire inside of him burning as he mused. And yet, we're told at the end of this verse that he finally speaks with his tongue. Now, notice again how in the first three verses there is no mention of God's name. It's as if when it begins with, "I said," all we have here is David thinking about himself. All we have here is David looking around him and all the circumstances that are taking place, and he's only thinking of himself, and he's letting it all build up inside, even though he realizes he should not say anything in the presence of the wicked. But when we go to verse 4, he begins to speak, but he doesn't speak to others or to the wicked. He goes directly to God. "O Lord, make me know my end, And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. David's prayer is that God would help him to see and understand the transience nature of his life. The idea that the life he lives is so temporary. He knows that the Lord knows his end. The Lord knows the bigger picture than this world in which we live. He knows that, and he's asking the Lord, who knows the measure of his days, to help him see how fleeting he is as a person here on this earth. The days in which we live on this earth, David tells us in verse 5, are a few handbreadths. The Lord's days that he has put us here on this earth, David says, a few handbreadths. And his lifetime on this earth, in this transient part of his life here on earth, is as nothing, he states, before you. In fact, he goes on specifically to speak of not only his own life, but of all mankind in general. And he does it, you see, in the psalm with repetition. Three particular words beginning the next three lines of the psalm. The last line of verse 5 and the first two lines of verse 6. Surely, surely, surely. Surely, verse 5, all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. You see how he's describing the transience of life. For man, it is life here on this earth is a breath. For man before God, life here on this earth is but a shadow. Surely, verse 6, second line, for nothing they are in turmoil. Now you begin to see the transition beginning to take place. You see, if you look at the psalm and you want to see some type of structure, you notice there is a repetition. That first surely at the end of verse 5, the third line, surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And then you see that repeated line almost exactly at the very last line of verse 11. Surely all mankind is a mere breath. You see what is happening in the midst of those two lines, which are almost exactly the same. A transition is taking place in David's heart. An understanding of things beyond the inner turmoil of his life and the circumstances around him. Surely, verse 6, for nothing they are in turmoil. All the things in life, you see, that cause people, man, turmoil, it is for nothing before the Lord. In fact, he even adds an extra line at the end of the surelys from the end of verse 5, from the first two lines of verse 6. He completes his thoughts with a reminder again of the things of this earth being so temporary. For what has David observed in his life? What does he know from his own life? A man can heap up wealth and does not know who will gather. Someone can go through so much turmoil, building up wealth in this world. And think of all the financial distress, David says. And whether it's wealth or something else, it doesn't matter. The thought that he is expressing is that so much of the things in this world that cause us turmoil, worry, concern. What does he say? At the end, this man who has spent his life doing that does not even know who will gather. After he's gone from this world, he has no control what's going to happen to it. He's not even going to be here to observe it. He spends all his life in turmoil about so many earthly things, and yet, before the Lord, it is all a mere breath, a shadow, a handbreadth. Fleeting is life in this world. So he begins, as you see, to make this transition between the last part of verse 5 and the last part of verse 11. And the transition that David is starting to come to in this psalm is a transience of life, temporary, to a permanence of life. Look at verse 7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? Notice how in verse 4 he begins with the Lord's name, O Lord, as he begins to reflect on the transience of this world compared to the permanence of the Lord. But now in verse 7, as he's completing his thoughts, he begins with an "and now." He's coming to a conclusion. He's coming to a point where he now begins to understand things from God's perspective. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? What is he waiting for? Is he waiting for resolution of the things in this world, here on this world? Is that what's causing him so much turmoil? What does David say? My hope is in you. It's not in the turmoil that the financial difficulties are causing him. It's not in the turmoil of the difficult relationships, the family relationships that he's dealing with. It's not hope that somehow if he just prays enough, or maybe if he was trusting more, all that turmoil would go away because God would resolve it all. No, you see, his hope is in the Lord who is in heaven. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is not here. My hope is not in the resolution. My hope is in you. His hope, verse 8, is that God will deliver him from his transgressions, from his sins. His hope is that God will not make him the scorn of the fool. His hope is understanding that he has sinned, yes, that God can take away his sins and transgressions, and that God, in his grace, for his own name's sake, will not make him the scorn of the fools. And then do you see how David begins to resolve this in verse 9? I am mute. We've heard that before, haven't we? Verse 2. Remember the first part of the psalm when David is dealing with all this inner turmoil, and we read that he's not saying anything before the Lord, and we read that verse 3, he's becoming hot within his heart and heated, and fire is burning up within him because he's so built up with this turmoil that he doesn't say anything. Verse 2, he's mute and silent. But now as you go to verse 9, look where David's at. I am mute. I do not open my mouth. We've heard that before, but why? Second line of verse 9, for it is you who have done it. He has gone to the Lord. He knows that the Lord will deliver him from his transgressions. He knows that the Lord will keep him from being the scorn of the fool. And he's mute, you see. He doesn't answer now. He doesn't pour out his thoughts and his frustrations and the burning within him. He doesn't do that now. Why? Because he has come to realize that it is you, O Lord, in the realm of permanence, in the realm of heaven, you have done it. And what does he know about himself? Oh, how often we forget this, don't we? We always look at a situation and think, oh, it's the Lord doing this, or somehow it's somebody else's fault. But David comes to realize now in verse 10, as he thinks of his life before the permanence of God and the kingdom of heaven, he states, remove your stroke from me. I am spent by the hostility of your hand. He knows that he has sinned. He knows he has done something. He knows that these are the consequences of his sins. And he prays that God would remove that stroke from him, that the hostility of God's hand would be moved because he is so spent by it. Verse 11, when you discipline a man with rebukes for sin, that's what God is doing, you consume like a moth what is dear to him. As David lays there in 1 Kings 2 on his deathbed, he first has had to deal with Solomon. Adonijah wanted to become king in chapter 1, and he was beginning to crown himself and make himself king, but David had said that Solomon would be king, Solomon the son of Bathsheba, and David's son, crushed like a moth, consumed like a moth, the first child died, a child close to him. As we think of David and his son Absalom and the terrible situation that that led to, Absalom consumed like a moth what is dear to him. You see, David has lived this. David has experienced this. Oh, what pain, what sorrow is on his heart. And yet, as he concludes this psalm, look what he has come to realize. Hear my prayer, O Lord, verse 12, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. At the end of the psalm, David has put aside the transience of life, the temporariness of life, the recognition that all the toils and difficulties of this life are temporary. And he has now put his thoughts on the permanence of heaven. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. Remember, David, in the first part of the psalm, is far from peace, verse 2. I held no peace to no avail. But he prays for God's peace, verse 12, to be put upon him for his tears. And then do you see what David states? For I am a sojourner. Now, the better translation for that particular word would be stranger. For I am a stranger with you. And then as you go to the last part of verse 12, instead of a guest, a better translation would be sojourner. David states that he is a stranger with God here upon this earth. He is a sojourner like his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has come to a point in his life where he realizes that as God is a stranger in this transient world, so is he a stranger in this transient world. And he is a sojourner like his fathers. Now think about what David is saying. All the struggles of his life. He even recognizes in this psalm that some of the difficulties he faces, some of the pain is because of his own sin, and that the Lord is disciplining him for that sin and correcting him for that sin. But nowhere does David say in the psalm that he is not one of the Lord's. As he has lived in this sinful world, as he has committed those various sins, as he has suffered sometimes the consequences for those sins, he remains a sojourner. He knows he is a stranger. He knows his home is not here, but in heaven. And so, verse 13, David prays, look away from me. Now, someone might say, look away from me. How often do we see that in the Psalms? Usually, David is praying that God would look to him. But what is David praying for? Look away from me in that discipline that's coming against me of verse 11, of that stroke that he knows, of that hostility of God's hand. Look that away from me that I may smile again. I have seen that smile. When you go into the room of a dying relative and you think of how sometimes they lay there reflecting on regrets, as they think about relationships that they can't mend, as they think about areas of their life which sometimes get mended, sometimes don't. But yet they come to that peace. They come to that smile of God's grace and forgiveness that only He can give, because they realize that they are sojourners, strangers here on this earth. And whether that situation is resolved or whether it is not, they smile, for they are at peace with their Lord. This past Monday, I attended the memorial service for Henry Vanderpaul, a dear friend of me and a great supporter of my ministry. Having talked with William afterwards, William Dykstra, he mentioned, we were there as he passed, and it was the most peaceful thing that we had seen. He went to be with his Lord. That smile, that peace that only God can give to a saint. And notice that last line of verse 13. Before I depart and am no more. What David is expressing at the end of verse 13 is his understanding. Even as he, in chapter 2 of 1 Kings, is going through all of the details of his life before Solomon that have been unresolved, one after the other, mistakes he has made, things that he has to leave to his son. And yet, as he concludes this psalm, look away from me, Lord, that I may smile again before I depart. Depart this transient world, this transience, and enter into permanence forevermore with Him. This is David's prayer as he comes to resolve this area of his life in Psalm 39. Sometimes people reach a point where the pain of the transient is gone. And one of the reasons Psalm 39 speaks to such situations is because, like David, we can find that peace only in God. When we face difficulties in life, when we look back with regret, we look to our Savior as David foreknew. For even as David anticipates the coming of our Lord in this psalm, he knows that salvation is only found in the forgiveness of his transgressions, in God's removal of the scorn of the fool. And David knows that he has sinned, that he deserves what's come upon him. But he also knows that our Savior came, and our Savior would come as a sojourner. God Himself would come as a stranger upon this earth. He would go to the cross and take down the wrath of God upon Himself for the sins of God's people. And He alone would give that peace that only God could give. Oh, that peace that God has blessed you, that God has helped you see your circumstances from transience to permanence. Oh, that smile would return to your face as you rest in Him, recognizing His grace, His forgiveness, His permanence for you forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the words of this glorious psalm, a psalm which reminds us of the forgiveness that we can have only in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And even though, as David writes these words, and we're not sure exactly when they take place, we do recognize, Lord, from the content of this psalm, our very own life. For we face times, O Lord, where we have been dealing with consequences from our mistakes, from our sins. And yet, Lord, you help us through them, reminding us, O Lord, that yes, we are sinners. Reminding us, O Lord, that as we go to you, our hope is not in ourselves or in our resolution of those matters, but that, Lord, we find permanence in our Savior who suffered for us, who has brought us into that eternal kingdom, and who alone gives us peace. Grant us, O Lord, your grace, your mercy, your strength. Remind us each and every day as we face the turmoil in this world that we are yours and you alone, through the work of our Savior, returns that smile of hope looking to you in heaven. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.